Life expectancy content is for informational and storytelling purposes only. We are not medical professionals, and nothing discussed in this episode or contained on the life expectancy website should be taken as medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you're facing medical concerns, addiction, or any health-related challenges, please seek guidance from a qualified medical professional or a licensed healthcare provider. Thank you for being a part of our journey, and we encourage you to seek support from trusted professionals when needed. Welcome, everyone, to the very first episode of Life Expectancy, Sisters Surviving and Thriving. I'm Julie.
I'm Stacy.
And together, we're going to take you with us as we discuss some really hard things, including a journey with my sister, who is a liver transplant survivor and a breast cancer survivor, and I am her health advocate through this process.
Yeah, you are.
The purpose of this is to share with you and others what we've gone through, our experience, to try to make it a little bit easier for other people, hopefully that can relate to what we've gone through and maybe help somebody else to avoid some of the pitfalls that we ran into.
As the patient, transplant can be a really lonely place, and support is key, and community is helpful. So having something like this, I feel, as the patient, is very valuable to know that you're just not alone. You're not alone. You're going through something very serious, and there are resources and people here who want to go along this journey with you.
In addition to that, I want to share with you a little bit about our vision for this podcast. It's not just us talking, but we're trying to build a community. So we have a website that you can go to where you'll be able to download the podcast, and you'll also be able to get links to pages where we've put resources that were important to us. It's by no means an extensive list or a one catch-all place, but everything we talk about together, we're going to make sure that we post there so that you can get more information about it if you'd like.
I also have a blog. Some of it is just interesting tips and tricks that I have learned as going through this process, and others is just how life is post-transplant. And I think that's valuable information. And maybe it's just a place for us to get to know each other.
My sister and I are incredibly close. She's absolutely my person, my best friend. And I really love where we are now.
It wasn't always like this.
And getting here is part of what we're going to talk about. And I don't think we're here just because we went through something so very traumatic. I think the love was always there. But with that comes big sister energy and
little sister energy
and our dynamic, which you'll hear.
This is our first time actually sitting down and really discussing the journey that we went through and how we got to surviving and thriving today.
I don't think if we had tried to do this any sooner than right now that we would have been able to put our thoughts together, organize, and discuss this with all of you. What you'll hear from us is organic dialogue. So we'll start with a topic that we think is really important. And an interesting thing I think will happen here is that there are things that we will probably share with each other, and I might get a little emotional at times.
You will get emotional at times.
And maybe you will too.
But I will.
We're going to share as organically in a raw format, which is going to be reflective of our personalities and also our relationship. And you're likely going to hear that there's times where our relationship was very strained, and then now where things are a lot better.
It's going to be messy. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be heavy. So you'll hear me make jokes because that's how I deal with things. But it is worthwhile.
I think so. I'm hoping that you will get out of this what I wish we had when we were going through it. So we're going to be honest. And sometimes it's going to be hard to say certain things, but we're not going to shy away from the hard stuff.
And like I said, this is our first time sitting down talking about this. And there are some things that I discovered, things I had never heard before. And it was very interesting and reflective for me to hear some of the things that you went through as the health advocate, and I hope some of the things that you heard me express as the patient when times you weren't there, when I was by myself, because there's a lot of times as a patient, you're alone.
It's true. So this is the very first time that we have had the mental capacity, the energy, and the space to talk about this stuff. And so there are going to be many conversations where things emerge that come right off the cuff that we hadn't even thought to ask before. So what other place to start but at the beginning? We're going to talk about our history, who we are as individuals, who we are to each other, and how that's evolved over time.
I think this is helpful because it gives you a little bit of insight into some of the things that I'm saying and where I'm coming from, because experience definitely plays a part in this. And knowing how I grew up and the dynamic of our relationship especially may give some further insight into why we are who we are.
Look, I know it's cliche, but hindsight is 2020. I definitely would have approached things a little bit differently when this all began if I wasn't being driven by some conditioning that predated this incident between her and I. So, you know, I was running on some ideas that were really false, and it led me to make some big mistakes in approaching Stacey and also in trying to approach the entire family. Sometimes when a person's not being honest, it's because they're not being honest with themselves. Or if they're not being honest with you, it's not automatically because they're trying to do something maniacal. It's because they're trying to self-preserve.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. I do carry some shame and guilt, as most people that are recovering from addiction do, for different reasons. But it wasn't from a place to want to hurt those in my life and those that supported me.
It's really hard to separate all those emotions out in the moment because this stuff is happening really fast. And that's something I want to really get across to all of you, is that you don't have a ton of time to make these decisions. So that's why our roles and our history is important, because when you're making snap judgments in the moment and you don't have a lot of time to think it through, but there's a lot of baggage coming into this, then it's going to come out.
We're also going to discuss Kubler-Ross.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me what that is?
So Kubler-Ross is this idea of stages of grief. And the stages of grief are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And so actually there's this really famous movie all about Bob Fosse called All That Jazz, right? That whole movie was based on the idea of Kubler-Ross.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he goes through the stages of denial, anger, bargaining.
Movie.
It is. Depression and acceptance. And the show that he's going through in the movie reflects each of those stages. But here's an interesting thing. So it was presented more like a linear thing. Like, okay, so you do denial and then you step in anger and then you step into
stages.
Turns out it's not really like that. What it's really like is circular. You can go from anger back to denial.
Yeah, I slide back and forth. I know as the patient, you tell yourself certain things, and I did. I slid back and forth from one to the other.
Mm-hmm. A circle really isn't the best way. It's really more to describe it like a ball because it's three-dimensional. So you could be going from one side to the other and back. Also, you can often think and feel about two different things at the same time, and there are complicated compounding feelings that can happen. You can be depressed and be angry. You can be in denial and be bargaining. So I think it's interesting because not only can one individual be going through these really complicated things like we've just described, but she could be in a completely different stage than I was at the exact same moment.
We're also going to discuss perspectives.
Yeah.
As the patient, as the healthcare advocate, and how we could have the same event with completely different views. As the patient, I was dealing with fogginess. I was dealing with pain. As my sister, you were dealing with emotions. You were dealing with trying to juggle that and make the decisions, because I wasn't always coherent to make them myself.
Yeah, and I think we can break these things down and try to make them as simple as possible. But recognizing that this is complicated is important. Also, in this perspective, one of the things I think is really cool now, looking at it from a bird's eye view down, we can actually look back down on that and see the place, right? And say, oh, well, yeah, I did this thing. In the moment, you make the best decisions that you can. And I think that having grace for yourself is so important. But I wasn't always able to recognize that you were looking at things differently in that moment than I was. So some of this is about recognizing where the other person is and taking time to figure that out.
Very early on, from my perspective, I didn't know the severity of what was going on in my body. And so my goals were, well, I want to make sure I can get to a point where I can still drink. Yeah. I don't want to give that up forever. I want to make sure that I don't have to go far away and I can still be close to home and see my cats if I was going to have to go to a rehab or if I was going to have to go to a different hospital. So the perspectives in that case also were kind of a dual layer that we were dealing with.
And the severity. So I'm over here not having any fogginess and I'm saying, oh my gosh, I'm over here at DEFCON 1 and she's at DEFCON 3. So not only were our goals different, our outcomes were different, I'm over here thinking she's dying and she's over here trying to process what they're telling her.
And as a biologist, she understood a lot of what the doctors were saying in a way that I didn't. My mother didn't, my father didn't, my fiance didn't. None of us understood the severity of what was going on early on.
Yeah, not everybody's going to be able to look at the blood work and like have their heart sink right away. You have to wait for the doctors and nurses come talk to you.
I got lucky with my health advocate.
Well, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Because on the one hand, yes, we got lucky because we could act faster and I could push for certain things. But also that meant that I was carrying so much pressure.
Okay. Yeah.
With me. And there is a time here. I didn't give myself or our family really any time to process because I was like, I saw the blood work.
You were moving at lightning speed.
I was.
Because there was an urgency that I didn't, and mom or dad or Ryan for that matter, understood at the time.
And I think that because I did have that stance and the knowledge that supported it, it might have had an impact on our overall success. But I do think that you don't have to have this knowledge to take what we're saying and use it to advocate for yourself and your loved ones. So that's part of what I hope you get from this is that I don't need to understand what potassium levels mean or the GFR rates mean, for example. But I do think I'm going to approach listening to the doctor and asking questions maybe a little differently based after listening to us.
Yeah. And hopefully from this podcast also, you will get a little bit of education because I lived through it. And my sister still says stuff like GFR or whatever you just said that I still have zero knowledge of what
your
that means.
Your $10 word for today is glomerular filtration rate.
Oh, geez.
GFR.
I can't pronounce that.
I do feel like I want to define it now. So it's like how well your kidneys are working by filtering out your blood.
For a liver transplant. Okay.
Yeah, because a liver we'll say this many times, defies classification. So it affects multiple systems. So it makes it a little bit more complicated than maybe some other organs, although it's all complicated. I'm not trying to minimize anyone's experience, but the liver is really messy.
We're also going to discuss current events. There are some things that made headlines that for myself hit close to home and brought some further realities bubbling up to the surface, some things that I didn't necessarily think about. And that kind of led us down a couple different rabbit holes as well. We start someplace and we do end up traveling somewhere different, but I think it's all still valuable information.
So another thing I want to mention about that I think is really cool is that we're going to talk about things and references will come up. Like we just talked about Kubler-Ross. So I'll make sure that we post that up on our website community.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you can have, if you want additional reading, but it's not going to be like this extensive, you know, the only place to go. But I feel like anything we talk about, we'll make sure to put up there for you.
We are also going to talk about the list, the UNOS list. Julie, what is that?
It is the United Network of Organ Sharing, but also another acronym you might hear is the OPTN, which is the Organ Procurement and Transplant Network. That's where all the policies come from that regulate the UNOS list.
This is officially the waiting game. This is the list that you want to qualify to get on to be eligible for an organ, a life-saving, amazing, brilliant gift that will further your life because you cannot survive without a liver. So the list is very important. So we'll talk about the steps and the hoops you might have to jump through to qualify, what happens once you're on. It's a big podcast. The UNOS list is a lot to talk about.
And this is where some of our podcasts this season will be a little bit more technical and some more will be a little bit more free-flowing. But this journey is like climbing Everest, and getting on the UNOS list is like hitting one of the base camps, and it's not done then. So we want to help you to maintain your hope and continue to fight and survive until you can thrive.
Yeah, I like that. That's a really good metaphor. We're also going to talk about roles. Now, this is another technical somewhat podcast, but there are several different roles that you're going to encounter while you're sick, while you're in the hospital, while you're in hospice, and basically what these roles are to you as the patient, to you as the health advocate, and what you are to each other, actually. The official things that you have to get into to make sure that the designated person honors your wishes if, in the case, my case, as the patient, you're unable to have those wishes done on your own accord.
So health advocacy is a lot like project management. And I know that sounds like really detached and kind sort of objective, yeah. But it's about organization. It's about making connections with all these people. It's about taking all this information and distilling it down into helping your patient, your person that you're caring for and their family and the support group make decisions. And then you have to communicate those decisions back out to all those individuals. And it turns out that the way that you communicate to a doctor might be a little bit different than a healthcare worker or a hospice person or the nurse that's coming to your house or your mom or your aunt or your cousins. And don't forget that people in your life want to know what's going on, but they often don't know A, how to help if they want to, and B, what to ask. And there's a lot of decisions that you have to make about being respectful and protecting the person that you're caring for, getting their consensus to share information, and also not being so private that people feel like they're not part of your journey.
Support is key. Support is invaluable. And support is not just for the patient. Support also is to show doctors and nurses that there is active people in this patient's life that care, want to all have the same goal. So there are different roles that each of the people on your support team can play to help advocate for you and to play kind of like cogs in a wheel to make sure that shared goal that you all have to get that patient that organ, to get them healthy and out of the hospital and ready to lead a healthy lifestyle.
So these cogs in a wheel that she's talking about, and then the different stages, and earlier, we talked about Kubler-Ross not being a linear thing. Well, guess what? This isn't linear either. When you are eligible to try to get on the UNOS list, it means you're severely ill to gravely ill, which means that the trajectory of this is just getting worse. You don't suddenly get better when your MELD score is bad without some type of intervention or treatment.
We'll discuss what a MELD score is as well.
We will. But for now, it's basically a measurement of how sick you are and what your need level is.
Specifically for an organ. To organ.
Yeah, for a liver organ. But just getting back to the project management statement, that's also why sometimes I'm going to sound real clinical and objective. Some of it's my personality, but some of it was my job in this role.
Yeah. Basically, what we're trying to do is provide a helpful roadmap. Something that we see a need for that would have helped us along in our journey. Me as the patient, my sister as my health advocate, I believe my fiance at the time, he could have gained some insight from this. My mother would have gotten some comfort from some of the things that we're saying. My dad, who is someone who loves designated roles and stuff to do, he would have gained some insight from this podcast, and it would have helped us along on our journey. And that's all we want to do is help you along on your journey in this really difficult, hard time. Yeah. Organ transplant is very complicated.
Yeah, and taking on either the role of health advocate or support for someone, it requires a tremendous amount of tenacity. You have to keep doing it. That can feel really lonely at times, mm-hmm. and you can't shy away from conflict, and that's a natural part of this. So I'm excited to talk about all of the things that I would have been listening to walk in the halls. We oftentimes found a way to communicate through music, through lyrics and song. And so we're going to share that with all of you. So with every podcast that we post, we're going to be posting a public playlist that has music that may have some impact for you, but it certainly impacted us in the moment. It might be the way I was feeling, the way she was feeling, or the way we were communicating with each other. So come to our website, join our community, come to our socials and follow us. Tell us what you're thinking. Share with us questions that you may have or comments. And we're really excited to connect all of you together.
Yeah, this is just a little bit of what to expect. And there is so much more.
Stay tuned. This is Life Expectancy, Sisters Surviving and Thriving.
Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.
Before you go, don't forget to visit life-expectancy.com to become a free member of our growing community. You'll get updates, extras, and soon a place to connect with others walking similar paths. Music for Life Expectancy is composed by the talented Ryan Brunn. And a heartfelt thank you to our producer, Kinsey, for making each episode possible. And if you're looking for something to carry you between the episodes, check out our Spotify playlist, Life Expectancy Podcast Season 1. It's public, curated with care, and linked on our site along with all of our socials. Thank you for being a part of this journey with us.